tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the Live Paranormal Show on LiveParanormal.com radio. I'm one of your hosts, Rob Zarek. Your other host is Nikki. Nikki, you're there.
Hello.
I'm glad you're there. At first I thought you weren't there.
I never heard unmuted, so I didn't know for sure, but I guess I'm here.
Well, that's the beauty of me running the system is... I guess I did it too early or while it was playing through our soon-to-be old intro.
Gotcha.
And, I don't know if... Well, I'm sure many people noticed that we kind of switched around the wordplay a little bit to the Live Paranormal Show. And a little play on marketing, even though it's the same show with the same hosts and the same great content.
Yes.
So what have you been up to recently? I know we've been out investigating since our last show. And,
yes, I think I've been awake since then.
You know what? We get called to a lot of places to check out for activity. And, people have different reasons why they may want us to come out. And we went and scouted out a couple of locations, and we were, hitting on every single one, which is amazing for us because we – found some great locations to investigate.
For sure. I'm excited about them.
I am too. And, it's one that we both were universally excited for. And, we have a live stream possibly coming soon. As the Live Paranormal Show will be broadcasting live from a haunted location.
Yes.
Doing investigations, and we kind of are switching up the format a little bit, where we're going to include some news, and we have our good friend Alex Matsuo doing a segment starting this week, but we're going to hit it real heavy coming with our next show, where we have new intros coming and new intros for the show, new intros for the segments. And we wanted to have Alex on tonight just to kind of give a little rundown on what she'll be offering. And maybe she has a little news for us.
Ooh,
in
bonus.
The paranormal, et cetera. So, this is not the new fancy intro that we're going to have for her, which I don't know how fancy it's going to be, but it should be pretty good. So let's bring Alex on. And we'll bring her on kind of look a little bit less formal tonight. So, Alex, are you there? It's spinning, so hopefully she's coming. Still spinning.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you can see the board or not, but if you can, it's spinning. Huh. I don't know why it's not bringing her on. Technology.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Huh. She's still, it's still spinning.
Oh, wow.
What a great way to kick off the new show with the spinning button.
Paranormal.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if maybe you can get in and press the button, but...
I cannot.
Not really sure what's going on.
Really?
So anyway, what a great start to the new Live Paranormal Show.
Uh-huh.
That's the beauty about having the live show, and then we can edit it before we send it to podcast, is that we can edit that part out.
Yeah.
Or we can leave it in and just have the awkwardness. Now, I don't know if you can see, if you can get it in, from your phone, because like, now I don't even have internet. Are you still there?
Yeah.
All right. I thought maybe I lost Nicole, too.
You don't have internet?
Mm-mm. I completely died. I've never not had internet.
Oh.
So I can't press any. Well, it's super slow now. This is the worst. It kind of good, it's kind of fitting, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess what I'll do is I will try again. Let's see if we can get her in now. If not, I have a secondary way. Okay. Oh, my God. I think it worked.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Alex, you're there. God, this is the worst ever. Way to kick off this segment. I lost internet. It's like the ghosts are like, yeah, let's screw with him tonight. It's already been kind of like a super weird night.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear me?
On top of everything else.
Yep.
I'm
hoping you
can hear me.
I can hear you.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to start that over. And that's the beauty of the podcast. And that's the downside, though. It's like we have the capability of editing it, and then it's actually like tomorrow where I have to edit it. It's going to suck. But, you know, it was like 4 minutes of complete awkwardness, and I'm not really sure like we would retain any listeners after the fact.
It's all dead.
I think we'll lose everybody. Oh, good. I just heard Nikki laugh, so I'm glad that she's still there. I thought I just lost everybody.
No.
Everyone did stitches you? No.
Yeah, I just sit and talk to myself. And you know what? I do that most of the day anyway, so it wouldn't be much different. It's just, you know, it's more of an awkward setting because it would be on live. You know, a lot of times when I'm talking to myself, you know, I don't broadcast it.
That's always good.
Depending on what I'm saying, but we have, you know, we've had you on as a guest, we've had you on as a host, and we've actually, you know, investigated with you somewhat. I'm not really sure we can call that an investigation last time we were together, but you know, it's good to have you as part of Live Paranormal again.
Yes.
And hopefully this time it's going to stick.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, thanks for having me back.
Well, I don't know if you have to thank us. It's just one of those things that, like, we wanted to figure out who had the same mentality as us, that could, and someone who could bring in something a little bit different, segment-wise. You know, obviously we can do news, we can do fun stuff, and we try to incorporate that. But I think it gives a whole another perspective. And plus, your perspective doesn't often vary from our perspective, and that makes it fantastic. You know, if we had someone that was more of a loose cannon, I think it'd be a little bit more scary. But I think that there's no factor of, like, being scared of what you're going to say. I say that, and it's probably going to be a big debacle, but I don't think so.
Nice.
All right. You're going to start talking bad about, like, TikTok videos, and turns out it's, like, mine and Nikki's TikTok videos. You're like, look at these. Like, wait a minute, this isn't where I thought we were going.
No,
because
I wouldn't
thing,
do
you know,
that.
We notice is, like, you do a lot of, you know, commentary. Your TikTok page I see is growing. I saw you're up to 40,000 followers now. And you know, you do a lot of fun videos, and obviously you do a lot of amazing writing. So I think, you know, you bring a lot to the table, and we're excited to have you.
Aw.
So that being said,
so far.
On top of us just telling you that we're excited to have you and that you were amazing, and trying to, like, lay the groundwork not to make fun of us, is there any type of, like, what do you, like, when you have the listeners, you know, what can we tell them about what they're going to get on a weekly segment from you?
Yeah, so basically this is going to be kind of like spending a couple minutes with me each week. So I love paranormal pop culture. I love reading about the latest news in the paranormal. So basically I'm just going to be sharing those little gold nuggets of news segments that I find on the internet and share them all with you all each week.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Well, and we're going to give you free rein, so we don't even need to know what the topic is. You know, so you just have free rein to do whatever you want. Like I said,
in fact,
if we release a video and you hate it, don't pick on us.
Deal. Nice.
So, and that's the one thing that I think constantly, but maybe my news feeds and Nikki's new feeds are just set to give us the alerts on what's going on in the paranormal, but there's something like almost daily that you can at least chalk up as paranormal or some kind of thing. So I think there's never a shortage of news, especially when you have a whole week to, you know, go over things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always some sort of golden nuggets. And today, of all days, I actually ended up finding, like, several stories in, like, 15 minutes. And I'm like, huh, something's in the air right now. I don't know.
Well, it definitely hit our broadcast earlier when we couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I think it's the ghosts were – they were not liking the new format. They were like, we're going to make it even more difficult on you.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ooh. Now, have you gotten a chance to go out and investigate at all since last time I talked to you?
Yeah, actually. I went to the Mary Washington House on Saturday in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
How was it?
It was actually really interesting. So Mary Washington is the mother of George Washington, our very first president. And she had passed away in that house. George had asked for his mother's blessing to become president in that house. His room was upstairs anytime he came to visit. So being there for the history aspect alone was a bit trippy, because you're like thinking, wow, George Washington walked into this house and walked up these stairs and, you know, slept in this room. It was a bit surreal to think about, but yeah, so we did a lot of Estes method in the house. One of the times I was under the Estes method, so I had the headphones on and, you know, my eyes were covered and everything. And one of my team members was trying to talk to, they believed they were talking to Mary Washington at this point. And he was explaining to her, like, you know, the little cat toys, the light up cat toys that, you know, we're all using these days. And I guess he had told her that they were cat toys. And when he was talking to her about this, I could hear in the radio, "I'm not a cat." So I said it out loud. I was like, "I'm not a cat. Don't say meow."
That's great.
And this lady was a single mom at the age of 35, raising like four or five kids, one of them being our very first president. So this woman took no like BS at all. So, and I'm sitting here listening and I'm like, why am I hearing this? And yeah, literally I heard, "I'm not a cat. Don't say meow."
That's amazing.
So
you actually have that recorded?
Yeah, we have like my voice coming out and, you know, the team member talking. We didn't get a chance to, because I use an old school Shack Hack radio, so we didn't get a chance to record the radio side of it. But, well, it might be a little bit muffled on the recorder. We're currently reviewing that audio right now, but yeah, it's pretty trippy. I mean, we have it on video for sure.
Well, that could be your next big TikTok video.
Yeah,
I'm not a cat. Don't say meow.
I love it. That's funny.
It's always fun when you get responses like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if she meant don't say meow, like don't you say meow and make fun of me, or if she was saying I don't say meow. I don't know.
Right. But that's so funny. I wonder how many other, you know, spirits feel the same way, you know, when we reference it as a cat toy, you know. They're like, but I'm not a cat.
Well, especially, you know, yeah, a woman from like the eighth. Go ahead.
I would say, you know, I think when you really, like, look at that, like, it would be almost like you'd be offensive. Like, you're bringing me a freaking cat toy to play with. You know, it's how
not
I
a
would
cat.
Right?
That's
right?
That's great.
And, yeah. You know, and this woman died in her 80s, I think. I think she was 80 when she passed away. And we're talking, like, 18th century when she died. So I can only imagine, like, you know, they're presenting her with this, like, cat toy, and she's like, but I'm not a cat. But it was more she
right.
saying, like, I'm not a cat. Almost
right.
like, WTF, man. I'm not a cat.
Right. I'm not a cat. I'm a lady. That's great. I'm a human. Right.
Well, I wonder if she said, toys. Don't say meow, if she was talking to you or she was, like, talking to someone else. You know, like, we've stumbled upon a couple of different theories. We had someone we had thought that was talking in a third person, but then someone else offered a bit of information and a different view that maybe there was like a mediator, like a person talking, you know, on behalf of that person. You know, because it would say
right.
Ruth says hi, Ruth says goodbye, Ruth says this, and I was like, man, that's super weird that Ruth would talk in a third person. But then we had, you know, a psychic, the guy actually does channeling, and he said, no, that's not right. What it is there's a mediator. You know, Ruth is a little bit shy, doesn't want to talk, so she'll talk to the mediator but not directly to you. Which actually, you know, like, it made sense. Like, a lot of times we get, like,
kind of blew our
scenarios
minds,
or people. Yeah, like, people will come up with, like, oh, it's this or oh, it's that, and you're like, yeah, it's not logical. But, like, it was actually logical. And when he was telling us this, we didn't tell him that ahead of time. Like, we had him do a remote reading, and he actually was like, yeah, she's shy. She doesn't want to talk. She almost has, like, someone talking for her. And I was like, oh, my God, that actually would make sense why we're getting the Ruth says hi, Ruth says this, is because it's not actually her. It's someone talking on her behalf.
Yeah.
So maybe there was another person there that would have been like, meow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's more than one person in that house, at least from what we picked up on. And, it is interesting stuff. You know, that was probably one of the cooler moments of the night. And, you know, since we had the manager of the Mary Washington house with us, and she knows everything about the house and about Mary, I purposely did not do any historical research this time around because I wanted to kind of be the guinea pig for, like, the Estes method and dowsing rods and everything so that when she asked questions, I wouldn't be tainted with, you know, by already knowing the information. And for the most part, everything that was happening, you know, the answers that came through the dowsing rods and the Estes method were correct. So,
oh, wow.
And like I said, I didn't know anything about Mary or the house or anything. So that's just fascinating.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, do you feel a place like that? It's very, even though you didn't do your research, you're still going to the house that's, you know, with that name. Like, do you think that that skews people's investigation techniques and stuff? That they're just, you know, simply trying to talk to Mary or see if George will make an appearance, or do you think that they actually give the room a chance and the house a chance to see what it provides?
Yep. We did ask about George because I was like, you know, I could meet the ghost of George Washington tonight, but George did not come through. George did not come
through.
That's
what I was wondering.
According to Mary, he did not come and visit.
Oh, wow.
That would be a TikTok video right there, talking to George Washington. Though I don't know if the TikTok crowd might not even know who George Washington is. So that might be an issue.
Oh.
I just lost all our TikTok followers right there. I like how you
yeah, I think
say
you
anything.
Just
you, like, get
dropped
a
followers there,
you kept all yours. We just lost all ours.
Way to go. Way to go, Rob.
Alex is like, nope, I'm not biting that one. That one's all on you.
That was a smart
you can
move
lose
out.
All your followers. I'm not losing mine.
Oh, my.
Well, so
I'll
we
stop
had kind of a different
talk,
experience. Right. I don't know if you have an extra 5 minutes. I'm going to go proceed like you do. We actually had a complete opposite. We went and checked out a location. And, you know, like I said in our intro, a lot of times the locations, they're hit or miss when people are like, oh, come out.
Yeah.
And we went to a place of, it's a house that they were tearing down. And the guy was like super creepy, a predator. The creepiest possible scenario was presented to us. And then we're like, you know, what's their agenda? What are they trying to pull? What are they trying to push? And it turned out like the property is owned by the current mayor of the city. And he's planning on tearing it down. So, like, it was like, well, if the mayor owns it, maybe it could be a little bit more of a legit story. And, you know, we went in there, and like, with this mindset of, hey, it's a predator. He killed himself instead of going to jail. And, you know, it could be all this, like, it should be really interesting. And it turned out to be, like, 10 times creepier than we even, like, not creepy,
totally.
Like, scary creepy, like weird, like creepy weird, like that guy was really a predator, really we found weird stuff. They allowed us to go in.
I found the strangest thing.
You want. And she found some of the strangest things that we just keep looking, and
I could have stayed there for a week.
Oh, wow.
It was like creepy upon creepy upon creepy upon creepier. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell Alex about what like the pictures we found.
Oh, gosh. I found pictures of little children.
Oh.
Yeah, pictures of kids that were cut out of, like, the newspaper and such. And, like, they were circled. I found one photo album that just had a photo of a boy and then, like, a plot of property. And, of course, I've, like, determined in my mind immediately because it was the only thing in the whole album that obviously if that little boy is missing, he obviously is going to be found in that plot of property. Like, it was so creepy. Other pictures were circled, and he wrote things on it, like, about the kids, like, that smile, look at that smile. And then, like, other photos, he had other areas circled. It was just inappropriate, and it was disturbing, to say the least. And I kept coming across more and more. It was, unnerving. Yeah.
Oh.
Unnerving, for sure. Yeah. And we just kept finding more stuff. Like, yeah.
The craziest thing is I'm about 6 minutes into the walkthrough watching it, and we already found, like three major EVPs. I just, me holding my camera, my phone, walking through with my phone.
Yeah.
We have EVPs, like, straight, clear as their words. Like, we're heading upstairs, and he tells us to slow down. And as she's looking through the, and I don't know why I'm laughing, but it's just like bizarre, like it almost like a coping mechanism for the creepiness. She's looking through the book and she sees the little boy's picture and she's like, I guess is this photo only the little boy, like circled? And he, like, we get an EVP. The EVP says, yeah. It's like just super creepy. And so we're gonna go back and we're gonna live stream from there. I think it's a great live streaming investigation. It's one of those that you have to, like, wrap your head around and be prepared prior to going in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you're interested, next week, you can make it to like the Ohio West Virginia border, you're more than welcome to join us for some creepiness.
Uh-huh.
And not scary creepy, just creepy creepy.
Just creepy creepy, yeah.
Creepy
just
creepy.
Just creepy creepy. Yeah, I'll have to check my calendar and see. And my cat has an opinion, apparently.
She meowed. It's not a cat. Cat toy. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
She wants a cat toy.
She's like, I am a cat. Meow.
I say meow.
Well, if your schedule permits, I think it definitely would lend to maybe one of the creepy or not scary creepy, creepy, creepy investigations you will ever be on in your entire life. Because
he's still there,
you know,
obviously.
He's still there, and like, so he lived by himself, and he had one bedroom that was just filled with like women's shoes. And he would collected
right?
like women's lingerie and just like off-putting.
All the creepy boxes.
If you kept the mindset that you were going to stumble across something off-putting, then you were in the right mindset. It's just like when you went out of that mindset and tried to like think normal is when then you were shocked.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah.
You know, like he had a dryer in the basement. And we all had to look in the dryer because we're like, what's going to be in a dryer? It's probably going to be like bones or something. You know, like it wasn't. But like, it wouldn't have surprised us.
Yeah.
Wow.
The funniest part was I just dove right in. Okay. I just started going through stuff and then realized I had nowhere to wash my hands. But I just dove right in.
5 minutes in there. 5 minutes in her, like, going through the pictures, so she's like, I'm pretty sure these are urine soaked. Like that. I was like, no, they can't be. And I walked over closer to her. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're urine soaked. Like, it was just straight urine.
Yep, and there
like,
I kept digging.
Photos.
Yep, I kept digging. I took one for the team. I really did. I was just like, needless to say, I went to the car. I found my alcohol wipes, and I went wild.
Well,
I bet. I mean,
it'd
be like bathing in those.
Yeah.
There's stories of like him having jugs, like glass jugs that line the staircase going downstairs, and they would come in and do something, take stuff out of there, or you know, I'm not sure what exactly they did. The jugs were sitting there. When they came back down, the jugs like exploded with the bases still there, but the middle
the
and the top
is still intact.
Shattered.
With
no one else being in the house. You know, and you
hear
these things, and you're like, yeah, that can't be accurate.
Well, and then they would lock the door
like,
to the house. Yeah, he would lock the door to the house, the current owner, and he would find the door unlocked and wide open. And he's the only one that had keys, and there was no sort of, like, damage to the lock area.
And they would find the lights on in the house. With no, they were like all the neighbors would report saying lights on in the house, and there's no electric. Like they cut
no
the electric 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and the neighbors would call the current owner and say there's lights on in the house.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's still there, and somehow he generates his own power. So.
Right, it's like we were standing there talking to the mayor. And we're just standing there, and he's like, yeah, right there, that carpet's cut out because that's where he shot himself. Then I'm, like, standing in that part of where he had shot himself, like, and they cut the carpet out. You know, so it's all, like, right still there. It's all fresh. It's never been investigated. And he's definitely generating enough energy, generating enough energy to communicate because of the voices we're getting on just a standard cell phone video camera.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's not definitely not a Martha Washington type investigation. It's like a Jeffrey Dahmer meets I don't even know. I just know like when they were telling us the story, it was almost too good to be true. Here's a guy who was 85. He was getting ready to go to jail instead of going to jail for being a predator and luring kids into his house. He, like, shot himself.
Yeah.
You know, and they think he was still there. And this was all backed up by the mayor of the city. You know, usually if the mayor of the city, it's just, I feel as if it's a little bit more, it's more of a legitimate thing than just a random call.
Yeah, and he was bringing up documents on his phone that supported the story, so it was like, wow. Okay. Jeez. Yeah.
So be ready.
Super creepy. Super awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And the best part is it's a stone's throw from a major casino. So if you like casinos, you can go and gamble to test your luck all the way around. You can take your urine-soaked fingers and sit there and just go run the slot machine.
On that note, killed it, man.
Yeah, you know what the worst part about it, and I've thought about this like 20 times in the past week, is after we left there, I had something in my tooth, and I was picking my tooth. She's like, oh, my God, don't pick your tooth. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm picking my tooth. It was awful. It's bad. But, you know, on that note, I'm not really sure where you go with the
never thought it was
the
going
urine
there.
Fingers in your mouth. Nope. That's where we lost the crowd, the remaining crowd. But the new segment we're definitely looking forward to. And,
yes.
You know, it's going to definitely be a weekly thing if we didn't already lose you with the urine-soaked finger comment. But
yeah, I know, man.
You know,
I've heard worse.
Oh, I just can't.
But I know when we had a couple people when we made the announcement today, they were like, oh, that's super cool. You know, we're glad that you guys are teaming up, so.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's good.
Yeah.
So we'll be starting every show, and your segment will start roughly at 10:35, and we'll properly bring you on. There'll hopefully be no more glitches. I guess if that's going to happen, I'm glad that it happened tonight.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
And I don't think that's very rare.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think that's ever happened before, so.
Yeah. No. Must be that creepy guy coming out.
Yeah. He's like, my story will not be told.
Yeah. Maybe. That's funny.
Nice.
Well, hopefully we'll have some good news segments for next Tuesday. Next Tuesday is, all joking aside, we probably will be doing it live from a haunted location. That's why I thought if you did have the availability, it might be you could just do it live with us, even if it's, you know, in person or video. We're definitely going to be doing some video streaming next week. We have a bunch of stuff lined up, so, you know, we can incorporate it somehow that way, too.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
I'll check my calendar.
Very
cool.
Good.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you soon, and welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
To Live Paranormal.
Aw, thanks, guys.
All right, we will talk to you soon. Check your schedule, and have a good
evening. Yeah, let us know. Have a good night.
Yeah, definitely.
All
have
right.
A good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I think that's going to be... a good thing for us, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Live Paranormal Spot. I was going to say Spotlight Radio, but we changed it to the Live Paranormal,
Live Paranormal Show. Yeah.
That was a smart marketing ploy. I'm glad you thought of it.
Yeah. Right.
But our boards are jacked. Tonight, I don't know. Like, I can't get anything. You know, we have not.
Well, now that we've told everybody the idea of what we plan on doing, you know, we can work out the kinks for next week.
Well, and we have Kendall and Vera on the line. You know, like I said, the best part about this is we can try bringing them on and patch it all together, and no one will know. So I'm going to try pressing it again and again and again and see if we can get it to work, but...
Okay.
Let's see. Hey, are you guys there?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, here we are. It's just working. We have had
fantastic.
The most bizarre evening. So we're kind of...
Oh,
like,
no.
So our podcast, we're doing the official, like, new change of, like, adding new segments. And keep in mind, like, I can't remember the last time we had any kind of, like, technical errors happen. I'm guessing, like, years. And
it's been a while,
tonight,
yeah.
Like, because we're doing, like, a new thing that we're, like, pumped up about, it's decided to, like, go all haywire. You know, we started a little bit late, which doesn't matter because, you know, we're podcasting it, so be it. But ever since then, it's nonstop haywire.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
a word.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of technical. I remember having to run the technical on Vera and I's podcast a while back, and there's a lot that goes into it, man.
Well, and it's down to the final thing where it's one button. We're trying to, you press the one button and it brings you a hot mic. And no matter how many times I hit the hot mic, it was just spinning and like giving me some kind of like middle finger thing, because that's what I felt like. It wasn't technically, but that's how I felt watching it. It's like, hey, we're not going to cooperate with you tonight. But we definitely appreciate
Hello?
You hanging in
okay.
That shows that. See, and then we lost you right there.
There we go. I got you in again. Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you now. Yep. It kind of goes in and out.
Right, which a standalone system from California shouldn't go in and out. It's not like it's a cell phone.
Right.
And, you know, that's it's a studio in California.
So weird.
So to go in and out, we've never had that.
Yeah.
So welcome to
Thank
the
you.
Live Paranormal
I appreciate
Show.
It. You know,
yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Vera wasn't able to come in tonight. She had to put the kids to bed, so she might chime in a little later if they get to bed here. But just want to let you guys know.
Oh, okay.
No, that's fine. I would assume she probably was waiting and waiting, and then she's like, look at these people. They can't get their crap together. And then she's like, I'm putting the kids.
No.
That's probably how it really went down.
Yeah.
That's how it went down. You don't have to sugarcoat it for us.
No, our little guy actually, he made a mess. So we had to put him in the shower, and then Bear's got to get him to leave bed. So we had a little accident over here. So no. Yeah, we're good. We're up. We work late. We work super, super late. So it's good to take breaks every once in a while and just kind of do stuff like this. So I appreciate you guys having
right.
the time.
Oh, no, we definitely appreciate, you know, you doing this. And we'll have to do, like, another one, and then we're going to do the video show, too. We're going to get it all lined up.
Yeah.
You know, the last time we tried to have you on, we had that – we unfortunately had you scheduled the same night as Bike Week. And we were sitting there at the location, and I literally just threw my hands up. You know, we went through one, like, as the bikers were coming in, and we had Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer.
Yeah.
And it was almost to the point where, you know, we've had him on many times, so it was kind of cool because, it was okay because he's been, like, a reoccurring guest, and we kind of made fun of it. But then as, like, all the bikers were getting into town even more, and they were, like, showing off our like, you know, they show off with like revving their engines and stuff. That's like part of the gig. And we were sitting right on the main street where they did it. So it made it impossible.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So basically we're just full of tons of excuses. That's like our, that must be our thing.
Yeah. It could be.
That's okay. We're on now, so that's good. We
there you
it.
Go.
We made it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing that we've wanted to talk to you about is your documentary. You know, it's gotten amazing reviews. So, you know, before, in case we lose you, you know, hopefully we'll have some usable bites here. Can you give us a, you know, what was the process behind, you know, putting that latest documentary together? Like, what was the mindset when you went into it? Like, was that one that you've always wanted to go do the that house, the, you know, the farmhouse, or was that just something that was presented to you, or did you, like, specifically, like, isolate that as one you had to do?
Oh, man, yeah. So, and I, you know, it was COVID, and we had been, you know, we had been down and isolated, and we started talking about wanting to get out and start filming, because there was a lot of locations that were pretty much not open. And so We started kind of searching around and trying to find some places to do our next doc on. And we ended up doing one location. And, you know, we're filming there. And then Brian Murray and Rochelle Stratton gave Vera and I a call, and they were like, hey, how would you guys like to come hang out with us at the Conjuring house? And, you know, the Conjuring movie is like one of my favorite movies. And I just have always appreciated the Warrens. And, you know, I never got to investigate or film at the Conjuring house. So I was pretty excited when they asked us. And, you know, Vera's like, said, you know, hey, we should stay there. And I was like, really? You want to stay at the Conjuring house? Said, okay. So, you know, we called Corey and Jen Hines in and talked to them, and we decided that we're going to film instead of just going to hang out. We're going to film and try to make something out of it. And so, literally, we kind of just decided to jump in the car like 2 weeks later. 3 weeks later, and just film everything. And there wasn't a lot of pre-production. We went into the filming. We didn't want to have any influence from other outside groups or shows or anything. So we didn't really do any research of the place. Just from what we knew from the movie and then the parents' story. And so we just went and documented everything, and it's. The whole documentary is just our perspective of what it's like to stay at the real Conjuring home.
It's very well done. And I think, you know, Nikki and I both can appreciate how much work it takes to put something like that together. You know, even though, you know, you might say you only spent a week or two or how long you spent there, we know the process behind editing and trying to pull out, you know, if you got any kind of clips that were usable for, like, the investigation parts and stuff, you know. Because when we do our traveling, we always put places in our back pocket because, you know, we want to expand our documentary shooting. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, it's amazing that you can pull that type of work together. And how it came out was simply awesome.
Yeah, thank you. We didn't really expect much out of it other than we just wanted to film our whole – I've always wanted to just film start to finish on an investigation, like from when you jump in the car all the way to the end, you know, and just document everything. And I've never had the opportunity. I thought this was, like, a really good opportunity to do that. And so we didn't have a place for it. We didn't even know if it was going to be anything. We just started filming everything. But by, like, day two, Vera and I were like, wow, this is actually turning out really good, and we got something here, and we started seeing that. And so we were very excited about it. And, the days unfolded. We stayed there for 2 weeks, and it was just a crazy experience. A lot of activity, The house was there was never a dull moment at the house. I mean, we're always doing something, especially with Vera and I just doing the production of the documentary. You know, we're on camera, we're filming the movie. We're, you know, it was tough. It was difficult, as you guys know, when you're in the investigation and you're investigating, but you're also trying to cover it. You know, it's really hard,
yeah,
especially with technical gear. You got mics, and you got, mm-hmm, you know, you're trying to keep the mics rolling, keep the cameras rolling, you're troubleshooting. So, yeah, I mean, it was tough. And then on top of it, you don't sleep because, you know, there's activity. You're staying at the location.
Yep.
And yeah, it just keeps you up all night, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and, you know, with you guys both being in the industry for so long, when you go into a place like that or a new place you haven't been to, is it kind of like, you know, where you've seen it all, you've done it all, you know, type of feel, or is it hard not to get that kind of feel when, you know, you've been on both sides of it now, you know, and you have for many years. How do you go in and keep it fresh? You have to go in like a fresh mindset every time where it doesn't get redundant? Because I know sometimes it can get super redundant. Like, how do you combat that?
I think The Conjuring House was a special case. I mean, I was really excited because, you know, it's an iconic location, especially because,
mm-hmm,
just because of the homeowners were really, you know, they were really awesome. And for us, like we lived with them. So it was a different experience. And I think that's what really got me excited about it. You know, Vera and I, Brian, Rochelle, we're going to be able to stay 2 weeks at the Conjuring House with, you know, and perform a full-on investigation with no limitations. I mean, it was just like, it was kind of a dream, really. I mean, we didn't have to work around anybody's schedules. It was just kind of the stars aligned for us. And I think it was really easy to kind of, for me to stay focused and stay excited about it because it's just a unique opportunity,
yeah,
along with some of the activity there, was just really intense. So, you know, when stuff starts happening, you get excited and it,
oh, yeah,
pushes you further and further. And usually, like, you go in for a location, things start happening, and then, you know, you got to leave and you're like, oh dang, I gotta go. Well, this is like,
right,
no, it's like tomorrow, let's plan tomorrow to go back and finish up there. Or like, you know, if it's not settling down, I can just stay up and keep investigating. It was just a different situation, which was really interesting.
That's awesome.
Well, and that's cool too, especially, you know, to get your perspective and from it, even though it's a location that's been investigated a decent amount, it still seemed like a fresh point of view, and that's the cool part about what you guys did.
Oh man, we were really lucky. Like the homeowner, like Corey and Jen Heinzen, like just by chance, we're talking to them, and Jen's like, well, there's an attic that has never been opened before, and we've kind of always wondered what's in there. Should we do,
oh,
it?
Wow.
I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
So like literally, like they were like, okay. So we, you know, we went upstairs and pulled some screws out of the ceiling and pulled this thing down, and you know, it was really cool. We got to investigate in a spot that has never been opened.
That's awesome.
Or investigated an attic. You know, along with the inside, we went outside, and the outside was really interesting. There's, you know, we did keep it fresh. I mean, there's a lot to do there with the barn and the house and the outside that it was, you know, it was always something that we're doing. And then, you know, they were really cool. They, I hadn't really experienced the spirit box.
Mm-hmm.
And John Huntington, who for whatever reason, it reacts to him very well. And
uh-huh,
also Corey Heinzen, So they showed us the sphere box, and that was like kind of a mind-blowing moment when the thing starts swearing, which I know you can't have swear words on the radio. The FCC doesn't allow that. And then the thing's saying, you know, it's saying Vera's name and my name, and it's talking about, it's saying words that just, it, you just can't explain it, you know. And I just, I was very skeptical of that, that thing, and you know, it was, it's just interesting to see what it was, what, how it was working. So there was some pretty cool moments with gear that we're having interaction, and yeah, it was seemed like it was intelligent. So it was neat to see that.
Well, that's the best part, and I think that's a lot of times how the spirit box gets misused, is when you, when someone lets the spirit box lead them, you know, so at least you were doing it the right way, where you get the intelligent responses.
Yeah.
I know we've been, we do a lot in Gettysburg, and we have access to places in Gettysburg that, you know, no one else does, and we've been getting a lot of crazy stuff. So I think at the end of the day, it's like when you get that crazy stuff, when you get that great piece of evidence, it keeps you going. You know, and that's what's cool about, like, what we're trying to accomplish in Gettysburg is, like, a lot of the places, you know, people don't have access to, or we, you know, we've been doing stuff outside. I never, like, I was never into doing stuff outside because of the noise. You know, in Gettysburg, it's a place where, you know, you have there was pretty much a battlefield it's all over. It's just one big battlefield. It's now they have buildings on it. And it's crazy, the stuff that we've gotten. You know, we had soldiers tell us they need help and they're dying, and you know, it's one of those things that I think when you get those pieces, that if you want to, you know, it gives you the energy to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with you, and especially if you know, it is trying to tell you something, and it is kind of making sense within the walls that you're in or the surroundings that you're in. I mean, you kind of got to pay attention to it. Now, I don't put full faith into the spirit box, just like a lot of the gear that we use. But you know, it is a neat tool, and you know, I think you can get results out of it. It is fascinating how it works. I'm still just intrigued on how it actually works. You know, with the words and how it can just call out words like it does. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty neat. And then we had our EMCCD cameras there, which was really cool. We brought those, you know, we had been testing them, and we were excited to put that on the investigation, and we got some really great evidence with the EMCCD cameras and some photon events. We put a recorder in a waterproof bag, a data logger recorder in a waterproof bag, and lowered it down in the well. Jen Heinzen had told us that people had pulled EVPs around the well and from the well area, so we thought we'd go a step further and put it in the water. Pretty neat. We got a hit for EMF, which was pretty neat.
Wow.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff there. I mean, the most profound thing wasn't in the documentary, and it happened from my own personal experience, where I had we were down in the well area, and I had asked, you know, can you touch my hand? I would reach my hand out, and I felt what felt like a hand kind of go up from my wrist all the way up my forearm and kind of hold on my forearm, and it held for probably 10 seconds. I mean, it was so interesting. I wasn't scared. It didn't feel like it was aggressive in any way. It felt like gentle. And I was super excited because we were rolling on it. Like, we were filming it with the EMCCD camera and the Black Magic camera, and so I thought for sure, you know, it's gonna be captured, this personal experience, and it was in front of everybody. Like, it was like Corey, Jen, Brian, Rochelle, Vera, and sure enough, we watched the footage back, and like I had a jacket on, so I was thinking that it was pressing up on the jacket sleeve, but there was no signs of any kind of physical motion of the jacket or anything, which I was obviously bummed. I was like, oh man, like I thought for sure it was going to show up on the camera, but it didn't. So
right.
We didn't end up using it. But for me, I've never been touched ever.
Right.
And especially when, you know, when I put my arm out asking for it, and come to find out that's a claim down there is, you know, guys get touched down in the basement quite often. So it was pretty fascinating. Hmm. I thought that was a really neat experience for myself.
Definitely.
Well, where is the best place for someone to go and watch this documentary? Well, where do you send people to?
Yeah, so the documentary is called The Sleepless Unrest, and it takes place at the real Conjuring home, the house that inspired the Conjuring films and the Warrens case, one of their famous cases. And the documentary is out on VOD, anywhere you can buy or rent movies. The best place to find it is iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, Microsoft, Xbox. You can find it pretty much anywhere. And then you can get a DVD at Walmart, Best Buy, or Amazon.
Awesome.
That is great.
If
you ever want to come out our way, we definitely have some places that I think you would enjoy, based on, you know, hearing mm-hmm. your enthusiasm and, you know, what kind of sparked your interest. I know we have a couple in our back pocket that we would love to show you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, we're always looking for the next story or the next place that's just unique and different and active, and, you know, so definitely keep us in the loop for sure.
Yeah, we'll do.
Well, we have a place in Gettysburg that we can actually investigate outside, in like a battlefield type setting, and then also on the inside is a guy who calls himself Creepy Stan, and he actually refers to himself as Creepy Stan, which is unique.
Mm-hmm.
There's not often that the spirit will hone up to their
to his
downfall,
creepy levels,
but he's
he's
very proud
he's
of being
creepy.
Called Creepy Stan.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never heard of that. That's cool.
Well, you know, talk about a spirit box response that'll just blow your mind. We collaborated with a website and social media page called Bloody Disgusting. They have a ton of we did a live stream for them for the Halloween,
cool.
Not last year, not the COVID year, but the year before. We ran their Halloween special. And so we were doing a preview. You know, hey, don't forget to join us. Just a little preview for them to play. And, you know, it wasn't going that well. You know, we were not synced up. It's just, it's very rare that we're not synced up, and it just wasn't going well. And I'm like, you know, let's run the ghost box and the spirit box and see if we just get something or whatever. And, you know, even though it wasn't going well, all of a sudden there was like this voice that was like a traditional creepy, deep voice, and it was saying something.
Yeah.
And it was intelligent. We were getting intelligent responses, and Nikki was saying, you know, boy, you're a creepy mother effer, right? And I'm like, are you creepy? And the response is like, is as clear as we're talking right now. I said, I am Creepy Stan. Like, what?
Oh,
it repeated the word creepy.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're like, oh my God, Creepy Stan?
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, I think it's great. And we're like, oh my God, you think it's great?
It
was the clearest and most bizarre, you know, ghost box session ever.
Yes.
That
oh my
he owned
gosh.
Creepy Stan. He didn't just call himself Creepy Stan. He also told us that it was great. That he thought it was great that he was referred to as Creepy Stan.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
The interesting part is we have gone back on, you know, numerous occasions. And He's still there, and he's still super creepy.
Yep, he's still hanging out and just as creepy
and
as ever.
He makes you like, we have it well documented that he was watching, you know, and the stuff he says is just creepy. You know, like,
yep.
Wow. Yeah,
that's
what creepy stuff.
And
it's all tied, and this is, you know, one location that has, like, four or five major things going on. You know, there's actually,
yeah.
You know, talk about the Warrens. They have supposedly an entity that's locked behind a door that Lorraine put behind the door.
Sealed.
Yeah,
she sealed.
You know, then the battlefield access where the guy's dying. And he's followed us around he's been dying for over a year of investigating now.
Yeah, for a long time he's been dying.
He
tells us a lot.
He keeps telling us he's dying. And then
my goodness.
And there's little kids there that talk and full out responses. It's just, it's an amazing location.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
And it's all documented.
Wow.
We have video footage. A lot of times, you know, it's just word of mouth.
A lot of times,
like,
you know, it's just word of mouth.
This happened.
Yeah.
We have it all on video.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so good. Yeah, that's, I mean, otherwise it's just a ghost story that you just tell.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Instead, you got really good evidence that you can put forward to,
uh-huh.
The world now.
The creepy scam story.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow.
It seems, and then I don't know if how much you heard from our last segment, but we actually, you know, went out to a location that had a predator, which we thought was kind of like maybe hearsay or it wasn't accurate, you know, but the more that we got information from the owner, who is the mayor of the city, it turned out this was a legitimate guy that was going to jail because he was luring kids into his house. He ended up killing himself in his house. And no one has ever investigated or let alone been inside. And we were getting, like, not creepy responses, like scary creepy, but like creepy creepy, like predator type creepy responses. And we found stuff in the house that was like creepy creepy.
Oh.
Like photos of kids that he cut out of a newspaper and wrote up, like, check out that smile.
Yes.
Like, it was just the most bizarre.
I took one for
stuff.
The team and went through the piles of stuff and found all this stuff.
That's
was
heavy.
Like, oh.
So, like, he literally went to jail and then his house went abandoned?
Yeah, so
he actually killed himself.
Or the guy killed himself.
He killed himself. He went to jail, was on probation. Then he tried to lure more kids into his house. He was 85. You know, so I don't think he was, like, too agile, like, wasn't able, the thought was there, but he couldn't actually do it. So they're like, you know, you gotta stop talking to these little kids. And he went, you know, he broke his probation, so they were going to take him to jail. And so instead of going to jail, he just shot himself, you know, off himself right there in the family room. You know, we were literally standing right there where he offed himself.
Mm-hmm.
And all his personal stuff was there, and, you know, we uncovered the creepiest stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a whole stack of, like, he had a whole room full of, like, women's shoes, but he was, like, not married or no reason to have women's shoes and, like, lingerie.
He lived by himself.
But,
that's dark.
Weird.
Yeah, so it's nice. If you ever need a dark documentary, we have a place for you.
Yep. We got it.
But it looks like our time is up, so we're going to have to let you go, but I think we will be in touch, and maybe we can do, you know, something coming up for our Halloween special and have you guys do the live video, because we definitely want to do that.
Uh-oh.
I think we might have lost him.
I think we've lost him.
It's like, you know, we said, here's the kicker. We started the show by talking about the creepy guy. Guess what? Everything went haywire.
I know.
We told him about the creepy guy. We lost him.
I know. Crazy.
Well. All right. Well, I guess we will be in touch. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, I don't often, like, think things are weird, but anytime we talk about that guy, we have
technical
difficulties.
Yeah. Super weird. Well, it was great to have him on. He's a great guest, and we'd definitely love to, you know, work on something in the future, perhaps with them. That would be great.
Yeah, at least have him on the video show or something. I'm still a little bit concerned about how we only have technical difficulties when we talked about that guy.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed the show, and we'll be coming live from somewhere next week.
Yep. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
All right.
Good week.
Bye.
Bye.